Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Broadcasting live today from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. The finale today, the Cubs and the Phillies, as the Phillies will try to bounce back after a loss last night. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. You know what? I'm still optimistic. I just want to say that because I know I'm probably get ridiculed and killed today. But
well, you thought we would be the I told you so people today? I mean, you did tell us yesterday the season was to turn around and saved and all that, and then last night was a dud.
I hear the sarcasm.
Okay,
in your voice.
I'm just saying. I went into last night expecting an easy victory because the season was saved.
I didn't ever say it was going to be easy.
And then we get rocked last night by the Cubs.
It happened late. You know, I guess if you look at a silver, they got to always kind of look at the positives.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, they were fighting. They fought. They fought last night. It's just, you know, some of the problems that we have, they reared their ugly head.
Well, they did. All right, not a great night last night for Mick Abel. You know, I think he was terrible, but he left pitches over the plate. The Cubs bashed him because the Cubs have a really good offensive team. And then the bullpen, we know, is a huge issue. I'm done. I'm tired of watching Carlos Hernandez pitch. I can't believe we haven't turned over that spot in the bullpen. We'll get to a lot of Phillies today. You can react to the game last night, an 8-4 loss. The Phillies have got a lot of hits, Hugh, the last couple days, but they're all singles. They only have 3 extra base hits in 2 games. Meanwhile, the Cubs are slugging home run after home run. So, finale today. We'll have leading off coming up in a little bit. Luzardo on the mound. It's a big start for him. But, Hugh, yesterday we had Eagles mandatory minicamp, a one-day mandatory minicamp, but it was the first time the whole team was together. And let's start with this: perfect attendance yesterday, which is
good
great,
job.
Great
good
news,
job.
Everyone there, and it's the last.
That's the first start to a good start of a season.
Absolutely, everyone was there practicing yesterday, and this is their last time together before obviously training camp starts in a little over a month here. And here, it's interesting because when a team is as good as the Eagles, coming off a Super Bowl, there is that natural question and natural thought of, can they do it again, and can they have the same both mental, you know, ability and physical ability to do it again?
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh, every time we've discussed the offseason, I have voiced some of the concerns I have of their ability to be as good again. But all those concerns I have are about the roster, right? Did they lose too much? Milton,
yes.
And Josh and CJ, GJ and Darius Slay. They're one aspect of this team I'm not concerned about at all. Is a mental hangover after winning the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles are built, and yesterday's perfect attendance kind of added a little bit even more for me. I think they're built to sustain success. I think the Eagles are built to defend a championship mentally. I think they have the right people here, from the coach to the front office to the players, to come back and almost act like they didn't win the Super Bowl. Just go out there and try to do it again. All these players drafted from all these big schools, used to winning, you know, whether it be Jalen Hurts at Alabama or all the Georgia kids, like they're used to having a season, going for a championship, winning a lot, and then bouncing back the next year and starting to climb that mountain again. Hugh, I am not at all concerned about a Super Bowl hangover. Where do you come down? Is it inevitable that there is some sort of hangover after the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
I think so. Never won a Super Bowl. Let me throw that out there first for all those that you want to point that out on you people.
Want to
point
that
out. They
want to
remind me that. I mean, I've never won one. But I had a chance to talk to some people that did. Talked to Nate Newton this weekend. And we were talking about Philadelphia and Dallas and you know, the differences of the two teams and everything. And one of the things that I asked him, because he did win a Super Bowl, is there potential for a hangover? And he said, yes. He said, and when we started getting into specific players, and he told me to a man, he was like, not really too much worried about Saquon because his work, he was talking about his work ethic. But you're going to – everybody's not going to be on the same page. You're going to have some guys, and they might be the fringe players. It might be the peripheral players that somebody's not going to be locked in. It might be a special teams player that, you know, enjoyed off season a little bit too much, partied a little bit hard, didn't work out as much as he needed to work out last year. So there's the potential there to get off to a slow start. Now, when I say hangover, that doesn't mean that you have to stay hungover the whole season. You know, it's potential there to get off to a pretty slow start or a significantly slow start, and you know you have to fight to get to where you want to be. There's so many examples of things like this happening. The year that the Kansas City Chiefs won it the first year, they got off to a slow start the next year. Because the reasoning why that Nate told me is because the time to train is shorter because the season, your last season was longer. So the time off you have isn't the same. Now you get back to training, the rest isn't the same. All of these intangibles aren't the same. So there is potential there to get off to a slow start.
215-592-9494. We're live at Citizens Bank Park today. The Phillies and the Cubs have their finale, the three-game set, coming up later on this afternoon. We'll start with the Eagles off of minicamp. And yesterday, perfect attendance for the team. And then I heard this from Nick Sirianni. And, you know, Nick Sirianni has gone through different waves of the way we feel about him, the way I feel about him, the way, you know, he's perceived across the NFL. Here's what he is now, though. He's a Super Bowl champion coach. And he's a guy that's been here now long enough to understand how the off seasons work, how everything works with his team, a veteran group, but a lot of young guys coming up, especially on the defensive side. I think Sirianni's thought process now, after coaching in his second Super Bowl, on how to sustain success was interesting. Here's Sirianni yesterday on trying to sustain what they've built here.
Really, I focused on sustained success, right? What were the common denominators of different coaches that I talked to, or players that I talked to, or Michael Johnson, you know, other sports that, you know, that we talked to, that what were the common denominators of sustained success? And I think without getting into everything, I think there's two sides of it. You know, the main thing is it takes what it takes, right? You're going to have to be able to work extremely hard, and you're going to have to be able to overcome adversity. And you always have to be right in the moment of where you are. I think, you know, as I've done research and talked to these guys, and we've had an element of sustained success here as well. But you can have two ends of it, right? You rest on your laurels, you rest on your past accomplishments, and you're not here working, or you're looking too far ahead of how do we do this again? Like, we're focused on our process and how we get better every single day. And, you know, if your process is right, then it gives you the best chance to win. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, but it gives you the best chance to win.
Well, and I love what I heard there from Sirianni, like kind of what his focus was in the offseason. How do we sustain this now? And I just think they have the right people. Hugh, I understand your point about the schedule and the offseason, and it's shorter. It's shorter for every Super Bowl champion, right? Every team, mm-hmm. Both teams that make the Super Bowl, the winner and the loser.
And to that, with that being said, there are examples of teams that have repeated.
Sustained it. Yeah, I mean, you look back the last 20 or so years at what teams did the year after they won the Super Bowl, right? We usually talk about the other side, like the Super Bowl loser thing, and that's been a thing over the years. It is difficult to get back to the Super Bowl after you lose it the year before. But winning it, you know, what do you do then? You're the best team. Can you do it again? I mean, most teams that win the Super Bowl last 20 or so years, I mean, double-digit wins, 12, 13 wins, back to the playoffs. It's hard to repeat. We know that. I mean, there's very few Chiefs. There's very few Patriots. It's hard to repeat in the NFL. The Eagles are trying to do that now. I just think they're built for this. I especially, like, the mentality of some of their players. I watched Devontae Smith. I listened to him talk. I don't even know he's accomplished anything in the NFL by the way he carries himself. Right? Devontae Smith is... he's a worker. I think Jalen Hurts has some of that too. Where it's about the grind. Even AJ Brown. We remember we talked a lot about his Instagram post after the Super Bowl about he loves the grind. He loves the battle more than the results. Mm-hmm. I think they are built with a lot of guys that just want to play football and dominate. And I don't know how much winning the Super Bowl satisfied them. It makes me feel good about this summer. I feel like they're going to attack this and they're going to be ready now. Are they good enough to win 14, 15 games again? I don't know, right? We're going to see that in the fall. But if they fall short or they're not a dominant team again, I think it's more because They just lost a lot of good players. The schedule's tougher. I don't feel like they're going to have a hangover. I'd be surprised week one if we watched the game against the Cowboys and we're like, oh man, their heads weren't in the game, or they weren't all there, or they looked a step slow. That would surprise me. I'm not expecting any hangover from the Eagles.
No, I mean I hear what you're saying, but I think that there's potential there, and I always look at it like, you know, like the year Jalen got his money, and I go back to that and I say, well, there's an opportunity there, or potential there, I should say, that he could get off to a slow start, and for the most part, he did. It's just the way that, you know, it could be the way that you practice. It could be the way that you install. There's a lot of intangibles that go into this. I think that the guys will be physically prepared. It's the mental aspect that might take a little bit of time to lock in. Because like I said, these guys' time is different now. They're doing things that they didn't do last year. Like, say, I don't want to mess up the name, because if I do, y'all going to Exciting White, Casual Whites.
They're not the Casual Whites.
No, two mics and a white.
I think there's only two mics. Who's the white? They're both white. Exciting Mics, Cooper and Reed.
See, and I was trying to make a point.
You're going to have to apologize when we see the training camp.
I tried to make a point.
At this point, you're going to have to apologize.
But that was so bad.
The point is,
two mics and a white.
The point is that their time is still different. You know, you're like, it's just different.
Sure.
And the mentality is different. That's the biggest thing that I focus on when I think about this. Okay, because going into last year, we know Saquon Barkley works his butt off. But last year, mostly Saquon Barkley's why was to prove to people that he was that dude, that he was him.
And he did it.
And he did that.
Right.
So now his focus is to sustain being him. It's almost like, have you ever seen the cartoon Afro Samurai?
I haven't.
Well, Afro Samurai was going around, and he was trying to find the number one headband, right?
Okay.
So he was fighting all these other guys. You know, he had to fight them in order to get to the right to be the number one guy, to get the number one headband.
He needed to reach the mountaintop?
For the most part. Yeah. So when he reached the number one guy, he got complacent a little bit, and he lost the headband for a little while. Mm. So he had to get back on his grind.
So he lost the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, so he had to get back on his grind to get the number one headband back. It's kind of the same thing.
I understand it. I never.
Yeah. You never seen Afro Samurai?
I'm going to search it right now.
Yeah, because it's really good. It has Samuel L. Jackson in it. So, yeah, it's really good.
When did it come out?
Like about, what, 10 years ago?
Oh, it's not that old.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll check it out. 215-592-9494. Is a Super Bowl hangover for the Eagles inevitable? Hugh thinks it is. I don't. It's like the one thing I don't worry about is their mentality and where their focus is. If this was a young team, and they are young on defense, but if they were a team kind of that came out of nowhere, right? That happens. A team wins a Super Bowl kind of out of nowhere. Let's say Cam Newton's Panthers team, which they were all right, and then they just went 15-1 and got to the Super Bowl. They lost their Super Bowl, but they got there. Then I'd say, are they really built to sustain success? And that particular group I mentioned was it. The Eagles are built for this. They're built. They've been very successful since Sirianni got here. Hurts obviously is a winner and has won every step of the way. I'm not worried about a hangover. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Kyle, what are you feeling here as the Eagles have perfect attendance day one of minicamp? You got our guy Nick Sirianni talking about studying sustained success. Or do you believe that a hangover is inevitable?
Well, I don't believe really in the Super Bowl hangover in general. I think it's kind of a myth. I believe in like regression statistically. Mm-hmm. I just think if you're at the top, it's probably more than likely that you're going to fall back toward the pack a little bit. And like, I get the Eagles came off of this a couple seasons ago, 2022, going to the Super Bowl, losing, and then coming back. And I mean, I know the team started hot the next year, but ultimately they collapsed and they fell apart. I think that kind of thing is just likely when you have as many changes as you do. And, you know, the fact that they did win the Super Bowl means that some of their players get more highly valued and it becomes harder for you to retain them. But I don't know if that's like that's not a mental thing, right? I just think you end up losing pieces on defense. There's a lot of new young faces for Vic Fangio to have to integrate into the team. And they have a new offensive coordinator, and we've seen, you know, what the quarterback and what the offense, specifically the passing offense, looks like when Jalen Hurts has a new coordinator. So I don't think it's like a mentality thing. I don't worry as much about the mentality as you do. It's just, I think some of the symptoms are there, the signs are there for them to, you know, maybe start the season a little bit slow and maybe take a little bit of a step back. Look, they could still end up one of the best teams in the NFC, if not the best. But I don't think it'd be crazy with how tough the schedule is for them to like start the season 3-2 or 2-3. Like, I just think that's a likelihood in general, just because, you know, the nature of everything that happened.
215-592-9494 is a Super Bowl hangover inevitable for the Eagles minicamp. One-day minicamp in the books. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown starts us off, fresh off his trip yesterday to the Chesapeake Inn to see the afternoon show. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day!
Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Another beautiful day at the Chesapeake Inn. You know, I got dressed up especially for the occasion.
See Chris's shirt he was wearing yesterday?
I did see it.
Yeah. It was Fritz, you know, over the camera for the contest.
Yeah, I did see because, it was like the Dallas, like where you see it on the – yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good time had by all. Guys, let's jump right into this Eagles debate, and then, you know, Mr. Douglas, I'll finish with you today. the Eagles will absolutely not have a hangover this season. Listen, Jalen, we know his personality. He's not a guy that's going to rest on his laurels. We know he's going to go back to the lab. His personality is totally fueled by the naysayers like Spike and the aforementioned Fritz. Saquon, there's nothing about that man that says he ever relaxes in his life. I mean, you know he's going to just continue to do what he does in his career. He's going to put the work in. Our offensive line, Joe, our offensive line has been year over year one of the best offensive lines under Coach Stoutland, and I have no reason to believe that's not going to happen again. Our D, you know, is what maybe we worry about a little bit, is clearly led by a great defensive mind in Coach Fangio. And he's going to have these players, again, take the next step to his scheme, in particular the young Thundercats. Sirianni's message has still not gone stale with this team. I think one day it will, so I still expect them to play with a chip on their shoulders and be what he wants them to be. And remember, guys, this is the thing that I think we sometimes lose sight of. We think, hey, they're going to rest because they think they've reached – you know, the peak of the hill. Well, they have in terms of winning a championship, but not in terms of history. So if they win and go, what, guys, back to back?
And it's not easy to go back to back.
It's hard to go back to back, man.
It's not. But if they do it, it's NFL history. They will be the first Eagles team to go back to back Lombardis. So I think that that's a little extra fuel. With this character base that they have here and group of players. Now, men, on my way out, I do need to address something. Hugh?
Yes.
Get him,
I need
Chris.
You to not look at your phone right now, all right? So, Joe and Kyle, we told you so yesterday about the Phillies.
We tried.
And we, Mr. Douglas, we just gave our analysis, and the only thing you heard is what you wanted. And I don't know what more we could have told you, but guys, the only hangover we're experiencing in the city right now is from watching the Phillies. Because these games are brutal. And you know what, though? I saw something positive on this show, and I saw a person, a character emerge that I haven't seen in a while, and I think it's because of these here Phillies, and it was absolutely enjoying to hear him back on the air. When he had a call yesterday with Mr. OG Wade, welcome back to WIP, Joe E.
Oops.
Oh, man. Chris was all over the place there, trying to spell Joel.
You know,
struggling there.
Talk about inevitabilities.
Quit looking at your phone.
Yeah, you know, you're right. We haven't seen Joel in a while.
Okay? Oh, he emerged.
You caught it right away. You're like, whoa, Joel's back.
I was like, no, because you was bouncing around.
You know,
like,
why?
Oh, heck.
I think Chris is right. It wasn't OG that got it. Was the Phillies. That was my frustration of the Phillies at their slap hitting style, their crappy bullpen. By the way, they DFA'd Carlos Hernandez this morning. Thank goodness. Like, when I watched last night and I saw it was his 25th appearance, I wanted to vomit. 25 times we've had to watch that guy pitch this season. He stinks. He's out of here. DFA'd Mercado up. Anyway.
Was anything more inevitable than Chris like butchering one of those chants one of these days?
It was so inevitable.
Hey, it was coming.
And we did try to tell you about
that. That was a disaster.
See, you know,
you were on your high horse yesterday saying you had our Phillies reporter Devin Caney saying that you're one of the Phillies authorities around here, saying the team was back after a slipshoddy win on Monday, and they go out there last night and they get blasted.
But it took a while for it to happen. They fought.
What does that mean?
I'm just trying to find a silver lining in all of this. I'm still optimistic. I think today,
it's great.
Even though, you know, I went to some baseball higher ups and I asked them how they felt about today, and they were like, you know, they got to get out of this. I'm still optimistic. Mm-hmm. I'm still taking the Phillies to win today. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like, and you know what's funny? As soon as that came out of my mouth, because I believe that, but as soon as it came out of my mouth, it felt like I might as well just give them my $2. Just might as well.
Well, you've been doing that every day.
I'm still betting on the Phillies, though.
Well, you can.
I'm betting on them to take this series.
Okay.
We'll
put together a
– I hear you, Kyle. I can hear you. Yeah. Well,
you heard Vic Fangio. That was fake news.
Fake news.
Mom, you told everyone yesterday you're the trusted authority on baseball. And then
– I don't recall saying it like that.
Well, you alluded to it.
Well,
You alluded to that being the truth.
I admit that I was peacocking. A little bit.
Thank you.
I admit that.
Yeah.
But I don't recall saying that I was the trusted baseball authority. I don't remember saying that.
Well, you put yourself over some real baseball people. You dismissed Seltzer's baseball knowledge.
Well,
you put yourself above
I was exuding positivity. Okay. That's a big difference. And I will still do that. I will still carry that better, even though it is heavy than a mofo right now. It's real heavy to carry that banter. And I know I'm going to probably get a whole lot of beer cans or whatever thrown at me if I was walking with
you
that.
You better be careful.
Yes, but I'm going to do it because it has to be done. It has to be done. As bad as this looks, and it looks bad, I still will remain positive that this team will figure out a way to get out of this.
I hope you're right. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I hope you're right about where this thing is headed and that we will look back on a couple nights ago as a turning point. Last night, not so great. 215-592-9494. That is how you operate. We're live today at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies Cubs coming up in a little bit. All right, coming up, you're going to hear from Nick Sirianni and Saquon Barkley what they said yesterday about trying to do it again, replicating success, sustaining success. I don't think a hangover for this team is inevitable at all. I think the Eagles are built mentally to sustain success. It's what the organization is. I think they're built way better for it now than they were the last time they won the Super Bowl. That year from 2017 going into 18 with the Wentz, Foles thing, Doug writing a book. I mean, they were an older team. I mean, that really wasn't built to sustain. This
Doug
one
was on
is
his way out though. Doug, I mean, no excuses, but Doug.
Listen, you got to strike while the iron's hot to write a book.
I mean, he was like, hey, man, you got to do what you got to do.
I get it. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh thinks a Super Bowl hangover is inevitable. Where do you come down on the Eagles? We'll get to some Philly stuff as well. We got a call in here who's got beef with me. I'm saying
he got beef with
well,
you?
Well, I don't know why. All I'm saying today is they are built to sustain success. Hangover.
I might survive this day, then. If the first call that we get has beef with you.
Well, he might have thought it was Joe saying that they were going to have a hangover.
I might dodge a few bullets
that's
today.
That's because everyone knows you're a lost cause when the Phillies. You're peacocking around thinking they saved the season,
I just find it fascinating.
It's your fault.
I sat up here and I exuded all this positivity and they get their butt kicked yesterday.
It's your fault.
But you get the heat.
Your fault.
This is a great
place. This is useful. All right.
This is a great place to be.
215-592-9494. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is a beautiful day.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of sunshine.
Beautiful day for baseball, man.
It is. Beautiful.
Beautiful day for a bounce back.
Well, yeah.
Beautiful day.
You're going to try to tell me that's going to happen today?
I'm being optimistic.
All things are fine.
I never said it was fine.
The season turned around on
Monday
night.
I never said it was fine. But you do, at some point, you get tired of the status quo. You get tired of, turning on the radio and hearing folks talk about how bad you are. I mean, this is a good baseball team. I don't think anybody denies that. They have their flaws, but they're still a good team, and they just need to figure out how to fight their way through.
Well,
this.
They're struggling right now. And we'll get leading off coming up in a little bit. There's a lot of issues, right? The bullpen's an issue. DFA'd Hernandez.
It reared his
morning.
Ugly head last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that the underbelly of that bullpen is not good. We've known that for the entire season. And the offense right now, Hugh, is becoming its own issue. Although they've
anemic.
They've put some hits together the last two nights, but there's no pop. I mean,
yeah, no,
they had the
no
home
power,
run.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the home run to Kepler last night that hung up there and got out. But for the most part, there's no extra base hits here. And the Cubs, you see the difference. The Cubs are slugging the first two games of the series. The Phillies are out. We'll get to more Phillies, including the latest on Aaron Nola coming up. 215-592-9494. The Philadelphia Eagles. That's a team that has far less issues than the Eagles. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. Mini camp yesterday. Perfect attendance. And one thing I don't worry about at all with this team is some sort of hangover. I think that's one thing. I check that box. They're going to be fine there mentally between Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Saquon. I think they're in the right spot to sustain and try to do this again. Hugh is worried, though, about a Super Bowl hangover. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Sirianni yesterday at minicamp before practice talking about his team and his star players and the idea of trying to do this again.
As long as I'm the head coach here, I'd always want Saquon Barkley on this football team. Obviously, he means a lot to this football team, and as a player and as a teammate.
What have you noticed about, the way Saquon has kind of attacked the offseason, the condition he's in, and everything after having such a huge load last
year? The same the way I visioned or saw him attack last offseason. That's what's great about this football team is, you see the same humbleness and the hunger that I saw going into the last season, and that's, Saquon, that's all the players on this football team. They're working, and we've had a good offseason.
So Sirianni there speaking specifically about Saquon Barkley, and from his perspective, Saquon attacking this offseason just like what he saw last year. Like, that is refreshing to hear that he sees that in the building, because one thing we've noticed, Saquon is a lot busier, right? He's a lot more visible this offseason, and I get it, right? He won the Super Bowl. He was the best player in the NFL last year, certainly mm-hmm. one of the few best players in the NFL. This is his moment, Saquon. So we've seen him everywhere, doing everything, and that's cool, but I like to hear that, hey, that work ethic, it's still there.
And you know what, it's funny, because we have boots on the ground, so a lot of times, because we're so close to everything, we don't get to see everything. So it was refreshing to hear somebody who's not in town that had a different vision of Saquon. Like I said, I was talking to some guys this weekend, and they talked about they weren't worried about him because of his work ethic. So, yeah, that's the one guy you don't worry about, but takes 53, to get to where they got to, because you talk about the contributions of Jalen Hunt. We talk about the Cooper DeJean and those guys. So everybody has to get on the same page. It's no doubt in my mind that they will eventually get on the same page and get this thing on track for we can be in position to repeat. But there might be some room there for a little bit of error early on in the season.
Let's hear from Saquon yesterday. He took the podium talking about where he's at in the offseason he had.
Was that hard for you to kind of like let your body rest? Probably it seems like more so than you have in past years.
No. It wasn't hard because everyone that I trust told me basically sit down for a little bit. So in past years when I was younger, you think like, oh, someone's getting better than me, or I'm relaxing, and I see Derrick Henry running hills, or I see Christian McCaffrey posting something. Like, the old me would be like, oh, I gotta go. I still have that competitive nature, but two completely different seasons. So just listen to everyone. And when it's time to go, I've been going. And when it's time to back off, I've been backing off.
That's an interesting perspective. Like, he basically said, the way I read that was, he changed his workouts this offseason because people told him, hey, after all the work you had last year, maybe you got to be smarter about how you work out, right?
Yeah.
He's obviously going to be in good shape, but seemed like he changed a little bit to try to keep himself fresh after last year for a whole new season.
Yeah, and that's important. I think that's important. And the one thing that has changed from the time that I played, you have more resources to be more in tune with your body.
Right.
And it feels like, him in particular, he's in tune with his body. You know, probably the healthiest season that he's had in a long time. And not only that, the most successful season that he's had in a long time. And I would not doubt, like we talked about it, how all of a sudden you're in Hall of Fame consideration. And that's probably a dream that he's had his whole life. So he's approaching this differently because he's looking 2 or 3 years ahead and knowing that if he can string together a couple more good seasons, that conversation is being had about Saquon.
Well, there's no question. Yeah, he does it a couple more times. I think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. 215-592-9494. I also think it helps Sirianni. It helps Hurts. They already did the Super Bowl thing, and you could say had a hangover in 2023. They know how to – they've done this, right? Like, sometimes a team goes to Super Bowl. They don't know how to handle that long playoffs, short off season. We just did this 2 years ago. Like, they just were in the Super Bowl and experienced life after Super Bowl. This time they get to experience as a champion. I'm just not concerned about it. Tyler in Delaware's got beef with Hugh Douglas. What's up, Tyler?
Yo, good morning, Joe. Good morning, my dog, Hugh.
Even good morning, up, Tyler. Get him.
And good morning, Kyle. First of all, Hugh.
Yes.
With the amount of cachet that you have, all right, being an Eagles great and being a former player, why can't you talk to somebody in upper management with Buc-ee's and bring a Buc-ee's closer to this area?
The closest one just opened in Virginia.
Come on, Hugh. Get one closer
it's
to
one,
here.
It's one in Virginia.
No, I agree with him. This is your fault.
Why can't you bring one in either Maryland or Delaware or PA? With
you know
your kind
the, you
of cachet.
What,
you could be you, sponsored by them.
You know what the funny thing about Buc-ee's is? For whatever reason, most Buc-ee's that I've been to have always been on the outskirts of a major city. Like there's one in Canton, Georgia that's like, what, 30 or 40 miles outside of Atlanta.
So they're not really up against the city.
They're not up against the city for whatever reason. I don't know if that's because that, you know, the competition with the local gas stations or whatever, but I've never seen one that's right up. It's always on like long treks.
But there's enough rural spots in Pennsylvania and in Delaware and Maryland. They could find a spot.
Well, you know, I think the closest one, it's in Virginia, and I don't know where it's at, and I think it just opened because remember – when I was planning my trip, it didn't line up because it wasn't going to be open when I took my trip. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, the one in Virginia should be open by, is it the 30th of this month?
Yeah, but I think Tyler wants one even closer. And this is
I agree, Tyler.
This is on Hugh Douglas.
I mean, I would love to have a Buc-ee's somewhere close.
Excuse me?
A Buc-ee's. Because technically, I got to show you the TikTok, Kyle. Or the guy that
I don't know if I don't want to see
he
that.
He calls it Buc-ee's with a lisp.
That's.
He said, I be drinking. I love my Buc-ee's.
What about. Dude, love stop. Stop. Please stop.
Buc-ee's.
What? Eagles.
Right,
what about Eagles?
More than enough. Go ahead, Tyler. Cut Hugh's
right,
mic off.
So I'm never going to view Buc-ee's the same after you called it Buc-ee's.
I know.
Look,
I know. This guy is unbelievable.
Hugh, yes. I got points for you and Joe on both the Phils and the Eagles. With the Phillies, Hugh, why should I, as a fan and as somebody who enjoys being a part of and listening to y'all's show each and every day, what gives you the confidence that this Phillies team, after we just watched them for the past 10 games, go out there and not have any pop, not have any swagger? What gives you the confidence that we're going to see something different out of this team today or in the next series? When it just seems like this team needs a jolt.
What gives me confidence? Because I feel like, you know, like if Bryce Harper was in the lineup, I think that they actually care. Like, it's a love-hate relationship with the fan base. I get that. But at the end of the day, man, there's nothing like being here and feeling the love and the adulation from this crowd. And I'm going to use a point that Joe made yesterday because he said something about they won the game in the 11th inning yesterday.
Yeah.
And that crowd in that small window of them winning that game, this place was different. Now, early on in that game, and I think was it Mike Angelini or somebody, was somebody at the game yesterday they were talking about the crowd, and they said it was bad up until that point. That's the beautiful part about being here in Philadelphia, man, is that even though this fan base can be very, very rough, if you put forth the effort, man, and you turn this thing around, they turn around quickly. But the flip side is if you play it bad, they turn around quickly on that side too.
Of course.
But that's that to me, that's the beautiful part about being here, man. And that's the part that you wanna keep going. You wanna kinda keep that going. So that's why I feel the way that I do. Cause today, as nice as today is, if they come out here and win today and play well, while Joe's laughing at me, things will change.
I'm laughing not because that was a wonderful set. It was a filibuster, though. I mean,
I knew you was laughing.
It was a wonderful sentiment. You got the whole town feeling like, yeah, but we forget is they can't hit for any power, and the bullpen stinks right now.
The bullpen, like last night, reared its ugly head. Yeah,
There's a lot of issues right now, Tyler. The biggest one for me is there's no pop coming out of the lineup. It's just so hard to score consistently when it's just singles. It's hard. It's almost like a football team that has no explosive plays or NBA team that only makes twos and no threes. Tyler, it's just hard. Like, the Cubs are bashing the ball over the wall, and we're trying to single our way to wins here.
And that is where I could not agree more with you, Joe. This is what was so troubling in the offseason, is that even guys who are supposed to be boppers of the ball aren't hitting for power. They're not getting on base. I mean, if you just get a whole bunch of singles, but then you don't move runners, you're not putting runs on the board. And it's so frustrating to see that it's just the same carryover of just being stuck in a rut. You need to have some sort of shakeup where guys got to understand, like, yes, to your point, Hugh, we are a supportive fan base as a whole, but you get paid to perform. You know that from playing in the league for as long as you did, that your performance matters. So when the performance suffers, and it's just running the same lineup out there day in and day out, I get there's no Bryce, but other cats, since there's no daycare anymore, other cats have to step up and fill that role. And that's where my frustration and why I try not to get too over the top, because until something changes, it's just like the status quo. You start getting into the same purgatory of not performing, where you can't just wait for Bryce to come back to expect results. You need to put guys in a position to be successful. And when you got a young guy like they just brought up in Kemp, you want some of that life and some of that youth to inject some of these older guys like a Bohm, like a Stott, like a Marsh, where your 6, 7, 8, 9 hole guys aren't hitting worth a lick right now.
And no, they're not. And they're not getting, and they're not getting enough out of the top to go with it. I mean, Schwarber right now, Tyler, is in a slump. I mean, we all expect June Schwarber, but Schwarber, it's not been what we expect. And the whole, speaking of the home run thing, just for a second. So the Phillies have now fallen to the middle of the pack in home runs, like across baseball. Mm-hmm. But I think when you factor in they have Schwarber, it stands out even more. Like, they have one of the top home run hitters. Schwarber's got 20 all by himself. They only have 60-something as a team, which means you add everybody else up. There's just not pop. And obviously the guy that's second on the team is Bryce. He's not here right now. They just don't have enough pop. So, Hugh, it just feels like it's going to be hard for them to sustain winning. Like, they're going to win games here and there, right? They're not terrible. You said it. They're still a pretty good team. And they have really good starting pitching. But if they don't hit home runs and the bullpen's not good, feels like there's like a limited way they could win the game, right? Like, it feels like it's got to be low scoring, and their starting pitcher has to dominate, and they got to hope the bullpen is good that day. It's hard. Like, it's just hard for me to imagine the way they look right now, they turn this around and win 10 out of 12. Like, maybe they win 7 out of 12, 6 out of 12, and we're not panicking. But, like, when is the next win streak coming, considering the way they look? That's what concerns me.
You know what? And to your point, that's kind of how I looked at the game last night, because it was a little back and forth affair until we got to that sixth inning.
When the Cubs started hitting home
and
runs.
And they started hitting home runs because they were trying to play small ball, and they were trying to fight and stand to it. But unfortunately for us, our power outage really didn't help us out when the Cubs started to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, it's like the other teams in baseball, right? The good ones are playing a different game. And, yeah. and like the it was
They have the ability to – to switch to, yes. To do what they need to do to win.
Like the other night was fun, right? The way they won the 11th inning, but it felt that's not sustainable. You're not going to bunch your way to wins over teams like the Cubs. So, look, the Phillies have, and hopefully today Lizardo bounces back. They have the starting pitching to keep themselves hopefully afloat while they wait for reinforcements, or their guys get hot, or they get Bryce back. But it doesn't feel easy right now to get any wins over good teams. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Aaron, who's up on WIP. Hey, Aaron.
Aaron.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. What's going on?
So, guys, I think it's time that you guys gave the young Padawan, Kyle Quinn, his shot.
In terms of what?
I'm proposing a Kyle Quinn, Jalen Hurts minute where when Kyle loses his mind, it is pure radio gold. I think you guys got to give him a shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that happens daily on the show.
Kyle takes his shot every time he cracks that mic. I mean, what are you talking about?
So, Aaron, we have discussed some sort of Jalen Hurts buzzer. When Kyle hits the buzzer, we just get into an impromptu Jalen Hurts discussion for no reason and a debate about him. That's on the table for things we might start doing here. So when that happens, it's probably inevitable Kyle yells at somebody. So I like the idea.
I might have more fun calling into the show and going through his pre getting on radio.
I mean, when he badgers the witnesses
to the point where he's screaming and yelling it's fun.
Well, I mean, some of our callers, I'm not naming names, like you need some direction a little bit, so he's got to get you in line.
Yeah, you're a pain in the ass.
Get it?
All right, Hugh.
Yes.
You know, we are brothers from another mother. We are Wonder Twin powers. But today, my friend, we disagree on both sides of the fence here.
I respect it. We can do that. We're at the stage now, Aaron, where we can have disagreements.
We're grown-ups.
Yeah, we can be grown up about
and
this.
You could tell Hugh why he's dead wrong about everything.
Yeah, you can do that.
You know, the Phillies are that relationship that we've all had once in our life where, you know, that first date is amazing. You know, super smoking hot. You know, the connection is there. The fireworks are going off, and then the next couple dates, the red flags start coming out, and then after a while, you start questioning it, and then things get better for a short period of time, and then again, they go off the rails, and all these red flags come up, and after 2 years, you're just like, man, I am absolutely, positively exhausted.
2 years is a long time to go through those red flags, Aaron.
Because he ran the red lights.
Yeah, you're putting in work, man. It's 2 years.
The Phillies are nothing but showing us red flags right now, where if nothing's going to change, it's the same old stuff. And then the one thing that is good in our Philadelphia sport fan life, the one thing that is true, the Philadelphia Eagles, you're talking about they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover.
Can you believe this guy over here? They are built to not have a hangover, and Hugh's calling for a hangover.
Wait a minute. I'm taking a jab because I said there's potential there for a hangover?
Yes.
Seriously?
Because what you're failing to see is how they are built to sustain this. They've got all these winners from Georgia and Alabama. They did it 2 years ago, and they know how to sustain it now. He's missing it, Aaron.
We've been to the Super Bowl 2 out of the last 3 years,
yep.
Okay? Our locker room consists of the mental outlook of Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Reed Blankenship. These guys are driving this locker room, preparing this team for what's going to be a repeat, another Super Bowl run. Let's go E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
There we go, Aaron. See, I mean, people are trying to get you right on this, and you don't see it.
You know, did you notice that Kyle, that was a pretty good speech. Kyle didn't give him any
Well,
music.
They have beef, those two. they have beef. Aaron and Kyle have had beef for a while.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. No, but I believe that there's potential for that because there's a lot of – and there's a lot of things that happen probably in this offseason that I cannot share on the air for these young men that has potentially changed.
So I understand that. I do think it helps that they just did this 2 years ago. And not all of them, right? Cooper wasn't here. He was in college. Quinyon.
Yeah.
But the bulk of this team went to a Super Bowl 2 years ago. And I thought they had a hangover in 23. I did feel that, right? Even though they started 10-1. The first month of the season, they played like garbage. I mean, let's be real.
But yeah, it was a little rough.
Yeah, it was. They didn't play good football. I think the experience of that and understanding how to navigate it last time is going to help this team. And I just it means something to me that they have players here. Like, these guys didn't go to, like, some school in the middle of nowhere. They went to programs. Like, the Georgia.
Yeah, they went to big-time programs.
And especially the Georgia and Alabama kids.
Because
it took
Georgia a while to break through.
Yep.
And
but
so, yeah.
Those kids, like, one championship isn't enough. The expectation is you win, and then you come back the next year, and you do it all over
again.
Yeah, I like that.
There's a level of, you know, back on the grind because of the fact that, you know, you've done this. But everybody, wasn't a winning program. You know, what else? Wisconsin hasn't won anything. That's where Zach Bond went to school at. So there's a few programs in there that, you know, you're going to have to probably carry some guys along.
Sure.
Now, the majority of the guys, to your point, they're probably going to be focused. But, like I said, this was a collective effort. When you talk about the contributions of all the other guys, and, you know, like I mentioned, Jalix Hunt. So there's potential there for somebody not to be locked in like that.
There might be. I just think they have the right leaders in place, and they're going to be fine. I don't worry at all about a Super Bowl hangover. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Hugh's got some concern over a hangover after Super Bowl. I don't feel that. I think the Eagles mentally are going to be just fine to try to repeat in 2025. Your calls to the Phillies as well. They lose last night. Carlos Hernandez DFA'd, so at least we're done with that nonsense in the bullpen. They play today. We'll get you set with leading off in a little bit. Elliot will join the show at 11:30. You'll hear from Jalen Hurts next, what he said yesterday as they prepare for the 2025 season. Are you concerned? Are you worried about a Super Bowl hangover for the Eagles? 215-592-9494, live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the best place to find all your favorite player props for the NBA Finals. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to check a player's consistency during the playoffs, or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up. And after the tip-off, you can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sports, because the official part of 94 WIP.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What did you was cleanup day, and you said you were still processing the Super Bowl, how you felt, all that went into it. The benefit of time now, what perspective you have on what you accomplished?
We're here talking media, talking about the 2025 to 2026 season.
Well, that we are. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, we're live today from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies and Cubs coming up in a little bit. We'll have leading off for you. It's a big day for Dave Dombrowski, by the way. Lizardo on the mound. They need a bounce back out of him. And the starter for the Cubs is a guy the Phillies traded away a few years ago to Chicago to get a relief pitcher during 2022. You're right over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just laughing about or thinking about how just a year ago, how much the Super Bowl changes everything, because Jalen didn't really say a whole lot in that press conference. But we're clinging to that. We're talking about it. Because last year he was dry and didn't say a whole lot.
When we were upset.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole him not backing Sirianni thing a year ago.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's almost like when you go out and you're, if say you're a wealthy man and you tell corny jokes and all the ladies laugh at them
because
you're rich.
Yeah.
Well, kind of same thing.
I mean, I brought this up yesterday when we brought up the Chris Sims list, right, yesterday?
Yeah.
And he had him ranked 10th on the list. And I think that's too low. I'd rank him higher than that.
Yeah.
But I said, if you look at that list at just the end of the regular season, I don't think it's very controversial.
Totally agree.
You
totally
add
agree.
In the playoffs, and especially yeah. the title game and Super Bowl, and it's like, how do you have him so low? It's like, how much does one big thing change the whole big picture?
Yeah.
It
yeah.
does. I mean, again, I would rank him higher than 10. I have him in that 5 to 10 range, but higher than 10, certainly. But you win the Super Bowl, and it's like, how are you behind C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert? Little things change a lot. You're right. That just listen to Jalen. He's always dry.
But it's funny. Like, now
it changes.
Yes. It's just – I just found it fat. Like, that's just how life works. His jokes are funny because he's the conquering hero.
Yep. Is a Super Bowl hangover inevitable for the Eagles this season? Yes or no? It is our Twitter poll question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Hugh believes it is inevitable. I don't. 67%. You're losing this one, Hugh. 67% believe this is not inevitable. They'll have a Super Bowl hangover. All right, let's hear one more from Jalen on their experience this time. Now they've been to two Super Bowls as a group with him here. Experience this one compared to last one and trying to go back and do it again.
What have you noticed about the team, in the short window here of the spring workouts? Any takeaway, that you see from the team?
Too soon. Too soon. I think there's a bit of a layer of experience from everyone here and there. Even certain people that are going to fill in roles, they got experience. And so I think that's something that's very valuable long term. That doesn't make you the most mature, but it's experience and it's valuable. So I think that'll help us.
It is interesting because you're totally right that it's the way he speaks, his tone, it's basically the same thing as last year, except he's speaking on something positive, our experience off a Super Bowl, rather than Sirianni. At that point, I think it was more about him not being part of the offense and being a CEO. That was more of like a, hey, this is a downgrade for him. How's he handling it? But his tone is always the same.
It's always the same. And not only that, he's still not saying anything. He's not saying a whole lot. It's just the tolerance level is a lot higher, because I can remember sitting here last year and be like, what does that mean? Or what is he talking about? He was just – but I think that's a good thing. I'm not saying it as a negative.
Well,
I think
it shows
that's a
he's
good
not
thing.
Changing off a Super Bowl. This is who he is.
He's trying to be as even-keeled as he possibly can. So, yeah, I think that's pretty significant.
I think – and look, the team takes its personality from the leaders, right? I think the way he is – and some people – he might not be everyone's cup of tea personality-wise. Right? Obviously, mm-hmm. he's a good player. I think it helps them try to sustain success. He doesn't strike me as someone that, when they're in the building, is changing his work ethic. I think he's always the same.
Yeah, and I think that's important because, being a leader of men and the intangibles that I talk about that Jalen brings to the table, I think that's important for him to be seen as the same all the time. Never too hot, never too cold. And I think that's one of his calming presence is one of the reasons why the guys, gravitate towards him like that.
Yeah, and there's almost an inevitability that since he got here, they win a lot, right? They have not had a losing season. They're in the mix, all that kind of stuff. I'm worried about certain things in this team, losing a lot on defense, the schedule, all the new coordinator, but a hangover in terms of their mentality, I don't see it at all. I'm good with that. Will in the Northeast is up. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What's going on?
Good morning, bro. Will.
All right, man. I just want to ask one question, real quick. Mm-hmm. Who is the best team in the league as of today?
In what we're talking about, the NFL or baseball?
NFL, everything.
The Eagles are the favorite today.
Okay, and who's the best quarterback right now today?
Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, I was going to probably say the same thing. I was going to say the same thing.
These are easy questions.
No, I mean, y'all keep saying Patrick Mahomes and everything, God. Man.
Yes.
Here we go.
He hasn't done anything real good this year.
They won 15 football games last year and got to the Super Bowl.
That's has-been, man. He's a has-been, man.
What did Jalen do?
He's done. He's cooked. Listen.
Did you say Mahomes is cooked? You're cooked.
And Patrick Mahomes, listen, I gave a blueprint how to beat him. You fork him left.
That's right.
And game over.
You know, wait, hold on a second. The Bucs gave the same blueprint how to beat him in 2020, and then he won two more Super Bowls after that. It's not easy to do what the Eagles did last year.
Okay, so what I'm saying is this, right? When the refs didn't blow that whistle, right, and I said, I would like the refs to swallow the whistle and let the best team win, right? Mm-hmm. What happened?
The Eagles
They were the better team.
The Eagles were better than the Chiefs last year, but what does that have to do with Mahomes?
Oh, man. All right. So, all right. I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay. Please do.
It just seemed like y'all don't want to get this. But listen, I'm going to say this. Listen, I agree with you, Hugh. I think a couple of players is on a little high horse right now.
Uh-oh.
They're selling it. And it's okay. You know what I'm saying? But when the season starts, you know, make sure you stick to business. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to say, listen, what I said last season, it goes again for this season. It's smash mouth time, man. We taking it back in the day, man. We grounding everybody, right? But the thing is, this is what I want everybody to understand. Listen, Saquon is not going to be our savior this season. It's all on you, Jalen, and I hope you listen. And the reason why I say that, right, because I know every team is gunning to try and shut Saquon down this season, man. I mean, listen, they're going to play their defense, but the main thing is to take him out of the equation, right, and see what Jalen could do. So, Jalen, I just hope you – I hope you're doing your best, and I hope you, you know, you up in your game this season, man, because a lot is going to depend on you, bro. A lot of people probably don't really see it, and they're just saying it because of the type of season last season. But this season, Jalen, it's all on you. Listen, Saquon had his glory, and, yes, he can have it again, but a lot of it is going to depend on – Jalen this season.
So, I agree with some of what you're saying, and I don't. Will, we appreciate the phone call. All right, so I do think, in general, teams are going to say, like the Super Bowl, for example, right? The Chiefs did the best job on Saquon anyone has.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm the Cowboys week one, if I'm the Chiefs week two, if I'm the Rams week three, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to almost say, Jalen,
beat us. Do beat us.
Can you do what you did in the Super Bowl every week?
Yes.
And if not, I think I have a better chance to beat you than if I let Saquon run all over me. That being said, I mean, it's not like teams weren't trying to stop Saquon during the season. This offensive line and Saquon and Jalen's running ability, it's not easy to shut this run game down. Like, even if teams try to do it, they're still going to run the ball well. That's what they've done for years, and now you add Saquon to the mix with the line and Jalen. It's hard to just stop him.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you have to be real sound in stopping the running game.
Yeah.
You have to be real sound in stopping the running game. And Jalen's going to have to adapt his game at times. And he's probably got to throw the ball a little bit more. I can tell you, just thinking about it right now, and the way that he played in the Super Bowl, there'll probably be a few teams early on and say, okay, do it again.
Yep.
Let me see if you do it
again.
Can
you do it consistently?
Yes. And that's going to be the thing, because Saquon's a catalyst. We know he going to run. You know, we know what he can do. It's going to be on Jalen to put himself in a situation where, you know, he's going to have to show teams on more than one occasion that he can cut you up in the air if need be.
And to be fair to him, last year he did it against the Bengals.
He
did it against the Steelers. He did it in the title game. He did it in the Super Bowl. So, like, four huge games, four, you know, high-profile games. It was him. Like, he was the driving force.
Totally.
The other ones, though, it was Saquon. Like, that's the way last year went.
Mm-hmm. Best quarterback
we'll
in the league.
This year's. What's that?
The best quarterback in the league, Joe.
Well, how did we get here? I'm saying.
Well, no, hold on. You had to know this was an inevitability. Like,
no, actually, this is on me. I didn't think we'd be here. I didn't think that we would just now decide he's the best quarterback in pro football. Like, there's a guy in Kansas City. I understand we just kicked his ass in the Super Bowl. Before that game, the conversation was, is he going to surpass Brady as the greatest quarterback ever?
No.
And now, all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts is
just
better.
Yeah, he's better. Yeah. Well, like, I saw this coming from a mile away, because it can never be enough. I didn't realize it until we did we did Hurts' number five thing.
Yeah.
And people were like, no, that's not good enough. He's number two. And I thought that was ridiculous. And I was like, why not at this point? He just beat Mahomes. Why not just say he's better than Mahomes at this point? Like, might as well just take it that next step. And I mean, not only did Will come on here and expect us to, because he asked us, he did a little call and response thing. He goes, who has the best quarterback in the league? And not only did he expect us to answer Jalen, he laughed when we said Mahomes.
As if I'm the crazy one.
I mean, it was preposterous.
Well, I just, I also doing? Think the funny part to me is that NFL history is littered with these kind of moments in time where a good quarterback beats a great quarterback in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I go through just a few off the top of my head. Russell Wilson's team crushed Peyton Manning's team.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. And Russell was good. Peyton Manning's better.
Yeah.
Right? Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice.
Yeah, no.
He's not in his class.
We've lost our minds.
I mean, I heard DeCameron this morning when they were having their debates. He brought up Phil Simms over John Elway, right, in the middle of the 80s.
Yeah.
John Elway is a lot better than Phil Simms. Like, yeah. This has happened. We have to probably go through the 59 Super Bowls. I would say off the top of my head, maybe 15 of them, the clear second quarterback in the game wins, plays better, outplays the other guy.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's better than him.
Well, it's this. I think that a lot of people, when you look at the history of the NFL and you look at back in the day, the teams that were winning Super Bowls, they had stellar quarterback play. Like, the quarterback was the catalyst for them most of the times winning the Super Bowl because of his ability to make plays, escapability, whatever you want to call it. But there's something that Scott Pioli told me years ago that I never forgot. He said something to the effect that, you know, when he was in New England, everybody, there's not too many Tom Brady's. He was an anomaly for the most part. But you can win with lesser quarterbacks if you put talent around them.
I mean, the Eagles
I
don't even think Jalen's lesser, but lesser of the two.
But lesser of the two, because when I think of lesser, I think of, with all due respect, Trent Dilfer.
Because That's as least as you can get.
That's as least as you can get.
Yeah, right.
And Brad Johnson, Brad Johnson falls in that category somewhere as well. So,
yep.
That's why it's hard for me to penalize Jalen, because of the talent that he has around him.
So I think we have reached a point where I understand your point and others that it's not – maybe we shouldn't penalize Jalen. But now I also think the other side of it is we're boosting him up too much. Like, there's – again, to go back to that first list 3 weeks ago, number five is not disrespectful. In fact, if you told me with the day they drafted him that they would go to two Super Bowls with him and he'd be considered the fifth best quarterback in the NFL, Howie Roseman would have said, this is amazing. I'll take that outcome every
all
time.
Day.
But now we're at the point where I think we're going to – it's almost like we're trying to combat the hate, right, if you think Chris Simms or someone is hating, with, like, too much. Like, he's not better than Mahomes. It's okay.
That's exactly what it is, though, Joe, because a lot of times – that's why every time that we start these conversations, in the mean, I say, do y'all really want to have this conversation? Because it always becomes something that we don't want it to be. And it's never spoken directly, but that's how it always ends up.
Yeah.
Because we can't sit here and give Jalen his flowers and then be realistic about his individual skill set.
Yeah, we've reached illusion.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And it's unfortunate because, like I told you, I think Jalen, because of his accomplishments from last year, is the number two quarterback in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes, and I gave the reasons why,
and we yelled at you for that.
Yeah, and you don't have to agree with me, but
you know
that's we know, but that's the way I perceive it. Now you perceive it differently, but that's how I look at it.
Well, I think there's a couple things going on here. One, I don't think he's quite that high on the list, but I also believe that we have amnesia. I just think we have Jalen Hurts amnesia. So I saw this morning show. They put up this poll.
Mm-hmm.
For the majority of last season, I think the wording of this question is important. For the majority of last season, how would you describe Jalen Hurts' performance in the passing game? They put three options up on their poll. Great, good, or mediocre. I would have voted mediocre. For the majority of the season, I thought the passing game performance was mediocre. By the end, he played great. Right? Mm-hmm. The two biggest games, he played great. But I thought, in totality, it was pretty mediocre passing game last year and Jalen's performance in it.
That might be generous. They were 29th.
Agreed. 67% voted good. But that wasn't how we talked about it during the season. We have amnesia on what happened.
Yeah.
We're remembering the end as if it was the whole story. It was a great ending. It was an amazing ending. It's one that's going to put Jalen in the history books for the franchise forever.
Yes.
And the season wasn't great.
And by the way, because I hear this a lot, and everyone's like, well, why do you penalize Jalen for having all this talent around him and a great team around him? It's not a penalty. It's just that is the retort you get to, well, Jalen beat this quarterback, or Jalen won this game. Teams win games. And the quarterback that has more around him is probably more likely to win the game.
So
it's not a penalty.
I'm going to push back a little bit on that.
And we're off and running. Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like when we talk about Jalen, that's the crutch that people use. Nobody says that about Joe Montana.
But I think
nobody says that about Peyton Manning.
The crutch is he wins these games head to head. Quarterbacks don't win head to head games. That's the crutch to me.
But this is how I look at it. That should never be a part of anybody's conversation.
But
when
it
you
is.
Talk about quarterback play because it becomes a thing because you're looking at Jalen as a lesser quarterback because of the accomplishments of those other guys. But those other guys had athletes around them as well. They've had players around them that are Hall of Fame players. Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison.
He had
a really good defense that they played with.
I agree.
They had a really good defense.
And that's why they win. But I think the winning is separate from their production or how they play on the field. Like the winning, we all agree, is the number one most important thing. But when we're comparing somebody versus another guy, the winning shouldn't be a part of it. Like they are one player on a roster of 53 guys, of 11 guys, 22. Like all of those things they contribute a lot more to whether or not somebody wins. And the quarterback, granted, could be one of the more important things. But when you put it in a vacuum, it's a little bit harder to analyze one guy versus the other.
I'm going to ask a question rhetorically, and you can respond if you want. I'm just going to throw it out there. Like, this is the way I think of it. Let's put Mahomes on the side for a second, right?
He's out. Okay.
He's the best quarterback in football.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, Burrow, Lamar. I'm comfortable putting them near the top of the league. You can rank them wherever you want, 2, mm-hmm. 3, 4, 5. I'm comfortable without a ring. Without a ring, just watching them play. They're great players. Would anyone be fighting that Jalen is 2 or 3 or 4 without the ring?
Would anybody be fighting to say
it feels like the ring is the only reason Jalen is put in the conversation with them.
And I think that to me is important.
Yeah, it is important, but is it? It's almost. It feels like it's carrying too much weight in the conversation.
Well, but to me, it carries all the way. It carries all the weight because look at what Jalen has been able to accomplish. With the if you want to use this argument, with the talent that he's amassed,
he's maximized it.
He's taken full advantage of his situation.
The Eagles, I'll say it this way: with him, they have not underperformed. Right? They drafted him, they put a lot around him, and if you told me that when it started, two Super Bowl trips and a championship over the Chiefs, I would have said we achieved what we were supposed to achieve.
Let me just sum it up in a nutshell how I perceive it. You played a hand you're dealt, right?
Yeah.
Jalen he's been dealt a really damn good hand.
Like Troy Aikman back in the day.
And he's taking full advantage
of
that. And for whatever reason, and I'm glad you brought Troy Aikman up, because when we talk about Troy Aikman and his accolades, we never say, I never hear anybody say, well, he had Emmitt Smith or he had that offensive line. I always hear, oh, Troy Aikman was a hell of a quarterback, and that's it. But when we talk about Jalen, to validate whatever argument that you have, it's always, well, he's playing with a stacked roster. So in my mind, you're penalizing Jalen because how he's a Hall of Fame GM.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So I don't think about Aikman all the time, though.
Huh?
Aikman always gets the he had Emmitt. He had the O-line. Like, Aikman, I think, is the lesser of the big three on that team.
You know what? When I hear them talk about the Dallas Cowboys, I hear triplets. I don't hear one triplet was he was the redhead stepchild or anything like that. I always hear them talked about in the same breath.
I don't think anyone puts Aikman in the class of Emmitt or Michael Irvin, and they shouldn't.
Aikman's in the Hall of Fame though.
No, but and that's wonderful. But Eli Manning's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, again. I mean, look, if this continues, Jalen's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, we can parse that.
Right, and awesome.
I mean, he'll earn that.
That'll make him a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's great.
Yeah, Russell Wilson might. I mean, if you earn it, you earn it. Let's go to Big V in Mount Laurel. Big V, what's up?
Yo, what's happening?
Big V.
Oh, what the hell
going on? Oh, my goodness.
Roller coaster?
I mean, he's a disaster.
Get rid of Jitterbug.
I mean,
cricket.
Come on. Cricket. All right, you know what? Let's grab Jay in Philly. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, fellas?
Jay, what's up?
Hey, man. So real quick, man, like about the fans that defend Jalen so hard, man, you got to give us a break, man. Like, Philadelphia is an underdog city, and this dude is the best version of our city that we've ever had. His story matches our city. We're in between New York, which has money, and D.C., which has power and politicians. People overlook Philadelphia all the time, the same way they did Jalen. So that's one reason why we identify with him so freaking much, because of his story matches our city.
Well, I like that aspect. I mean, also, you throw in his own draft class, right? He's the fifth quarterback taken, and he's winning more than all the rest of them. Yep.
Exactly. Part of his story. Rocky is a made-up character, and people love it. We have Joe Frazier, Bernard Hopkins. We have champions, and people look at that. That's crazy. That's crazy, man. So that's a whole other thing about Philly. We have Philly fighters that are great. People know Rocky. This is ridiculous. But anyway, so Jalen, you have John Elway was getting his head knocked off in Super Bowls before they went to defense and running with Terrell Davis.
Yep.
And they don't talk about him getting his head knocked off in Super Bowls before they changed everything. Peyton Manning was throwing ducks and won a Super Bowl with a great defense and a great offense. They don't talk about that. When my man gets brought up, everybody who doesn't like him wants to talk about that. There's a show that loves the Phillies that's on WIP. They throw shots at Jalen all the time. Snotty little marks, man. It's crazy. We even got to hear it on WIP. It's ridiculous. And to say that Troy Aikman, they always talk about the talent around him, that's not true. Very, very
yes, it
rarely
is.
Do they talk about the talent around him. Very rarely. Maybe
so they
once
should.
In a blue moon.
So Jay, they should,
exactly.
Right? All right,
exactly.
Maybe we're all having different conversations with different people, but I think it's similar, which, I find ironic, that the Eagles now have become a version of what the Cowboys were 30 years ago, which makes me laugh that's what they've become.
But I do think it's similar
to where Aikman was really good, and he was a winner, and he was a champion. But it is part of the story that Aikman's team was loaded, and now we got a loaded team with Jalen.
True. But Jalen went to – but the difference is they played the same way, and they grew together. And Aikman was a number one pick.
Yes, he was. That's true. Yes.
Yep. So it's different. Jalen went to a Super Bowl with Miles Sanders, running a whole different offense than he runs now. And if it wasn't for a horrible call, who knows how that Super Bowl would go? That it changes everything completely. But you can't blame that on Jalen. Had a great run that Super Bowl. He just lost the Super Bowl. He had a great run the next Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. Okay. So now you got guys like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, they love Aaron Rodgers. He throws the ball so pretty. He got one Super Bowl win, though. How many years has he been in the NFL?
He's been in the NFL about 20 years. And you, listen.
Exactly.
He's been around forever, and I'm ready for him to go home. And Jay, we appreciate it. Rodgers did win four league MVPs.
At this point,
it's time to go home. Yeah. He was a four-time league.
It is time to go home.
If you do yourself and you Google most overrated quarterbacks of all time, like any list,
Aikman.
Troy Aikman's on it. Like he's talked about that way.
Are you foreshadowing the future that Jalen?
Well,
on the overrated list.
I hope not. I'm just saying, like, because now for some reason Hugh and other people are saying nobody ever brings that up with Troy Aikman. It's brought up all the time.
I've never heard that argument about Troy Aikman.
I mean,
there are so many different like nobody. Okay, if that you want to do that one, how about Joe Montana? Joe Montana.
Hugh. He won multiple Super Bowls without Jerry Rice.
Let me finish though. Joe Montana came in an era where they was, what was it, the run and shoot, the Eric Coryell era, where they were throwing the ball over the place. And they adapted the game to his game because he wasn't that strong-armed quarterback.
Bill Walsh changed the
offense. And he became the standard, the West Coast offense standard.
Yeah, because he won multiple MVPs. He's a great quarterback.
Listen to what I'm saying. He had great players around him. He had a good tight end. I can't remember the tight end's name. Had a good tight end. And had Jerry Rice.
Sure.
And he had a running game.
He won without Jerry Rice, though.
But the point is this. He had talent around him, though, Kyle. He had talent around him.
But not like this. Like Joe Montana.
Again,
Joe Montana was the talent.
Again, Jalen's being penalized
He's not.
Because how
nobody's penalizing
him. He's being penalized because Howie is a Hall of Fame.
It's not a penalty.
We'll get this never goes away. So
it's never going to be.
215-592-9494 to hop in. Hugh thinks Eagles going to have a hangover. Our daily Jalen Hurts debate broke out all of a sudden. The Phillies, of course, are struggling. Elliot Shore Parks is going to join us on the other side. His takeaway from minicamp, what he heard from Sirianni and Saquon and Hurts, all coming up. Next, 215-592-9494, leading off in a little bit before the Phillies and the Cubs, broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This Father's Day, give Dad the gift of grilling greatness. It's grilling season, everybody, and there's no better way to celebrate with Dad than grilling up some Hatfield marinated pork tenderloins. They're packed with flavor, easy to cook, and guaranteed to make Dad feel like the king of the cookout. They have Tuscan herb. They have honey garlic teriyaki, lemon garlic. There are flavors to match every dad's taste. Make this Father's Day one to remember. Visit simplyhatfield.com and put some Hatfield pork on Dad's fork.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies and the Cubs today, the finale of the three-game set. Nakobe Dean set to throw out the first pitch. This was the day last year, not the date, but the game.
HBCU pitch. Day.
Yes.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of the sororities and fraternities around.
Saw the band walk by
some yesterday. Some of my sorors, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So, yeah, Zetas are here. So, yeah, it's going to be a nice day.
Yeah, it's beautiful weather. It's going to be a fun day. Hopefully a Phillies win. We'll get to leading off coming up in a little bit. Lizardo on the mound today. They need a bounce back out of him. Though the Philadelphia Eagles, not trying to bounce back. They're trying to sustain this thing. Minicamp, OTAs, that's all in the books. Yesterday had the mandatory minicamp. Perfect attendance. We know someone that was there. His name is Elliot Shore Parks. He is brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how you doing today?
Hello.
Man, I'm excited to talk to you guys. A little bit sad that, you know, it's now 6 long weeks until I get to watch the Eagles practice again. But it was an eventful day, so excited to talk to you guys about it.
So I'm curious, what were some of the things that stuck out to you? You know, it was a one-day mini camp or whatever. But how was the aura around the building?
Yeah. It's great. I mean, you know, you look around the league at all the drama with other teams. The Bengals can't sign their first round pick. And really, I think if you want to look at it, like Terry McLaurin, not at camp. TJ Watt, not at camp. Hendrickson, not at camp. Micah Parsons, not at camp. The Eagles had full participation. And, you know, to go back to the Bengals thing, like, I think a great look at the difference between the culture in Philadelphia and the culture in Cincinnati is Jahad Campbell is currently injured, coming off of surgery, is unsigned, and was out there doing individual drills. Meanwhile, the Bengals' first-round pick is presumably healthy and not practicing because of a contract thing. So
he's trying to get his bread.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I think the Bengals are in the wrong. But the point I'm making is right now, coming off a Super Bowl, like, the Eagles are really clicking on all cylinders, and there's just not much drama at all, really, with the team going on.
Elliot, one thing I thought was notable was a couple things. One, perfect attendance, which is what you want to see, especially with just a one-day minicamp. But hopefully everyone could get there. They did. The second thing is just the way they're talking about approaching this season. Because one thing, Elliot, that I'm not worried about, Hugh is a little bit, is the idea of a hangover off the Super Bowl. I think they are uniquely built to not have a hangover in terms of the people they have doing it to, you know, going to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, all the kids they've drafted from all these huge programs that are used to this, you know, Jalen Hurts' personality. They may not be as good just because of the schedule or they lost a lot of good players, but I don't worry about a hangover mentally, do you?
Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't. I mean, in 2022, they kind of burst onto the scene. Jalen has his career year. They make the Super Bowl. Granted, they lose it, which is a difference. But in 2023, they have an epic collapse. Jalen has a bad year. So I'm not saying that's what I'm predicting. But I think for anybody to think they know what's going to happen, I think is tough because we have seen this team only once come off of a successful season. And they followed it up with one of the more disappointing seasons in franchise history. Obviously not in terms of wins, but just in terms of expectation versus what happened. So I think time will tell how this team deals with success. I agree. They are built with hard workers. AJ, Jalen, Saquon, Devontae, they all come from great programs. They're used to, you know, working all the time. So I understand your point, but I think you're also ignoring a little bit what happened in 2023, which, you know, Jalen gets voted the second best player in the NFL by his peers. And then I don't even think he was on the list the next year, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I think time will tell how they handle it.
Elliot, what stood out to you from the actual on the field stuff yesterday? You know, who stood out and kind of who made a lasting impression on you as we go into this little time without the Eagles
hiatus,
for about 6 weeks? Hiatus for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say the player that impressed me the most yesterday, but also the player that needed to impress his coaches, and I think did yesterday, was Kelee Ringo. I think Kelee had an outstanding day of practice. There was three reps I can think of that really stood out. One was breaking up a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. It was a nice throw from Tanner McKee. He was covered. I believe it was Terrace Marshall that he was up against. He met the ball at the high point and knocked it away to prevent a touchdown. He prevented another touchdown in a similar tight play on the other corner of the end zone. But his best rep might have been one-on-one, seven-on-seven drill versus A.J. Brown, single coverage on the left sideline. When the ball was snapped, I don't know where Jalen was trying to go with it, but I certainly saw him look AJ's way thinking that would be an attractive option. But Kelee was right there with him, stride for stride, down the sideline. The ball wasn't even thrown. And what stands out about Kelee when you look at him compared to all the defenders, even the ones we know are going to be starters, is he is just a level of athlete no one else in the secondary is. He's bigger, he's faster, and he's stronger than everybody else that they have. So we will see if he ends up winning the job, but on days like yesterday, it's hard not to picture him winning the job.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us here talking about minicamp as the Eagles have that yesterday in the OTAs now and everything in the books. All right, Elliot, where do you come down on the three potentially available defensive veterans that have been big-time players in the NFL? One is a free agent, Jair Alexander. The other two, contract issues, Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. That one seems like it's going to end poorly for the team and him, you know, in terms of staying together. And then T.J. Watt looks like he might hold out here in Pittsburgh. If you had to rank the three in terms of likelihood the Eagles get involved, how would you rank them? And then do you think any are actually likely to land as Eagles?
So the ranking of most likely to least likely, I would say you would probably have to put Jair Alexander on top just because he is a free agent. So there's no draft compensation involved there, and his contract will be considerably lower than the other two. Then I would say Trey Hendrickson, and I think T.J. Watt is probably unlikely. The deal he's going to demand, Pittsburgh just signed Aaron Rodgers, which will be a disaster, to be clear, but it is a win-now move. So, you know, trading Watt would be a weird decision to make. So, you know, and then in terms of what I would do, I think Trey Hendrickson would be the one. I'm high on Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt. I think Azeez Ojulari is going to be good, but none of them are proven. And Trey Hendrickson is, you know, I think led the league in sacks each of the last 2 years. He was third in total pressures last year. He's not somebody that I think is going to cost as much money as maybe he would have 2 months ago. He's in his 30s. You look at players of his caliber in their 30s, they just don't sign like $90 million deals. So I think Trey Hendrickson is possible for sure. But I would say overall, you know, Jair Alexander would be the most likely because he is a free agent.
You know what? I'm kind of curious, Elliot, because, you know, we know the main characters offensively who are going to be, you know, the guy, the standouts, if you will. Was there anybody offensively, yeah, like the running back or somebody that you looked at and be like, hey, this guy might get a little bit of a run?
So there was I thought the backup receivers ended up having a good kind of 3-day practice, obviously including the OTA practices we watched. Like, Jahan Dotson, I think, looks really good. Switched to number 2, which I think is just a way better number for him. But you just think about last year. You know, he gets traded from Washington to the Eagles right before the start. Yeah, it's a great number. It's my favorite number. I wish Jalen would have stayed in it, honestly. But regardless, like, great number 2 on Jahan. But you think about last year when he got traded from Washington to Philadelphia. Like, I've obviously never been traded, you know, but I can only imagine, like, you have to move. You're on a new team. You're in a new city. You have to learn a new, you know, kind of how you want to go about your daily life. Like, so this year, he's just way more comfortable in just everything, the offense, the city, the team, the culture. And I think it shows when you watch him out on the field. He's catching everything thrown his way. Jalen's throwing it to him quite a bit. So I think Jahan's had a really good good few practices. And then the other two receivers would be Terrace Marshall and Danny Gray. Danny Gray, a third-round pick in 2022. Terrace Marshall, I believe, was a high second-round pick a few years ago. So both have draft pedigree. The Eagles need backups. Like, they really only have those top three and then not much else. So I thought the backup receivers stood out.
Elliot, let's end with this. The Chris Sims quarterback list came out yesterday. I think we last time we brought this kind of thing up with you was the PFF list. So he was number 5 on the PFF list a few weeks ago. Sims had him at number 10 and talked a little bit about, you know, decision-making, holding on to the football, some of the negatives. Obviously, a lot of the positives there, too, as he broke them down. What's your reaction to where Sims had him? And just overall, as we try to, like, place Jalen now in the NFL quarterback list after last year, how much do you think we should look at the regular season compared to just the final two games? Because I feel like that's where the plot is being lost. Like, I looked at Sims' list, Elliot, and I said, if that was the regular season, it's more than fair. I mean, it's a more than fair ranking based on what he was last year. You add in the postseason, and that's where it's like, really? He's behind Herbert. He's behind, you know, C.J. Stroud. It feels like how much weight we give to the final two games is really guiding everything about how we argue about these lists.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing I would say is, and this is not a popular opinion, but I'm going to defend Chris Sims here. I feel like he always gets ripped when it comes to Jalen, and he was ultimately wrong about Jalen. He didn't think he'd be as good as Jalen is, and he's admitted that. He now has him as the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, right? So I agree with you. I do think that, you know, if you were to look at just the regular season, that I think 10 is fair for Jalen. You could argue 2 or 3 spots lower. You could argue a spot or 2 higher, but I think 10 is fair. But we cannot say the postseason is the most important thing for all athletes. Like, let's use Joel here, right? Joel has been an unbelievable regular season player. But in the playoffs, he's not been as good. He's not had success. And so everybody in Philadelphia would tell you that matters more to them. So while, yes, Jalen didn't have an outstanding regular season, and there were definitely stretches where he struggled, and on all those things are true, the games that mattered more, he was not the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. He was arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. So I would have Jalen second on my rankings. I think you could put him 5th or 6th, and, like, it's not crazy. I definitely think 10th is over punishing him for the regular season. And I do think it's, like, not giving enough credit to what he did in the biggest games.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I feel like it's too far that way, and then I think too far is two is too far the other way, but 5 or 6 probably feels like the middle ground we all should be at. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. What's the what do you do now? Like, where's your brain?
Yeah, where's
the next
vacation?
6 weeks?
You going anywhere? What you got?
Oh yeah, I got a big trip planned. I'm going to Portugal, Wales, and Luxembourg in July. So excited for that. And look, outside of that, it's getting ready for training camp. I already have a list here of making sure I have a new soccer kit for each day of practice. I never duplicate kits in all the years I've done it. So got to make sure I have at least 20 new kits to get ready and you know, get in shape, get tan, and, you know, get my notepad ready to track stats.
Get in shape and get tan.
Now, do you have the notebook ready, the sunglasses, or is that like the week before you get all that stuff ready to go?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I did buy fresh notebooks yesterday, so I'll be good to go. I also just got a nice pair of sunglasses. I've been saving up for them for a while, so I'm excited for those. So I'm good on those too. It's mostly just getting my kits right.
I was going to ask you what kind, but Italian you said you made, save up for them. I don't need those. I'm gonna get them $2 glasses from the gas station.
I was going to say it's not a $40 coat, you know. So although I feel like we're on different ends of where we should be spending right now, so maybe I'll start to get the $2 glasses.
I live vicariously through you, L. You dress great, man. You're a great dresser. Great dresser.
I appreciate it.
All right, Ellie. We appreciate it. Have a good day, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
There we go. Elliot Shore Parks there with his assessment. The Ringo thing is
interesting.
It's good news. I mean, that is a spot who I feel like is – it's just flying under the radar as a – I wouldn't even call it a weakness. It's just an unknown, right? I don't know what Kelee Ringo is. But, frankly, the Eagles haven't put him on the field enough for us to know. And then I feel like I know what a Dory Jackson is. He's fine. I don't think if they put him on the field, he's going to ruin the season. But I also don't think he's going to be – very good. Like, he strikes me as a journeyman. He's just there. I would like to see Ringo win the job. That would excite me because that would mean he's ready, and maybe we have a building block with him and Quinyon and Cooper for years to come.
Yeah, because he's one of the young guys. He's one of the young Thundercats, and he's somebody that we want to be able to depend on.
Yep.
And not only that, he's been in the system. He's been in the system long enough, and you want guys that you're comfortable with. And it feels like that he's taken enough reps that if he is ready to go, he's the more comfortable choice because the other guys just got here and you don't know that much about him. So, yeah, hopefully he gets to take over the just starting job.
I'll also say the Dotson thing is intriguing and interesting because I've been saying this for a few years. The Eagles have had pretty remarkable health at wide receiver with Devontae and AJ, right? Mm-hmm. I know AJ got banged up a little bit in the playoffs last year. He wasn't maybe running the way he used to. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, those guys don't miss games. Like, they don't have – and we'll keep crossing our fingers, right, because they're great players. But AJ and Devontae, they don't miss –
they've been pretty durable.
Yeah, they don't miss 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. But if they did, which, I mean, at some point every player gets banged up, right? Someone's got to catch the football. Someone's got to – and Dotson, they traded for him last year. He's a former first-round pick. He's his contract year. It's a big deal if he can do more this year and be the guy.
Be more of a contributor.
Yeah, because it really doesn't feel like they have three receivers. It feels like at most times they just have the two big ones and the other guy's just there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You want to have as many weapons as you possibly can ready to go just in case somebody does get hurt, because durability and availability has been a huge asset for the Eagles in their success that they had last year.
And it's been for years that those two receivers. I mean, they've gotten their money's worth. They've got a lot of games, a lot of snaps out of those guys. All right, I think the bat signal went up. Let's grab OG Wade. OG, how we doing today?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG, we're good. What are you feeling today?
I just want us to have a conversation, and I'm going to say something that y'all ain't going to disagree with.
Okay.
Now, I'm glad you just put up that point, both you and you, about the health of the receivers, right? Oh, they've been healthy for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you know that because everybody's saying Jalen Hurts has a stacked roster, and this is why he should have done more with the passing game. Do you know that collectively, Goddard and Smitty and AJ played a total of 5 games on the field last year out of the 17? Five games together.
You're saying together?
Yes. Smitty missed 4 games. AJ missed 3. Dallas missed 7 or 10. You see what I'm saying? So that will affect where you're ranking. And yet, like Kyle talking about, oh, they're 29th ranked passing. Okay. And this is to Brian Dawkins as well. When you have your team, the guys that's supposed to be catching the ball in the offense consistently there, you can be more consistent like you was in the Super Bowl. But when these guys are in and out of the lineup and you don't even have them for only 5 games in a season, that's going to affect
your passing game and numbers. You see what I'm saying?
I think that's fair. I mean, but that's the reality of the NFL, right? Guys miss time. I mean, for Mahomes, Rashee Rice was out for the season.
Right, but we all have to keep in. When you're talking about Jalen, the one thing I hear a lot about Jalen is if you do this, if you do that. It's not. We're talking about what he did do. But what y'all do is y'all say, well, if you put another quarterback, that's not what. Because now you're saying to me that other receivers miss games as well.
Right.
And that's fair, a fair statement. But there's a resolve to it. There's a reason why it happened. So I don't want to get too deep into that, but that's my point there on that. And I hear people talk about Bryce Harper, how great he is, a player. Okay, and the Phillies only losing or not winning the championship is because they don't have enough players. So with Jalen, he has the players that he needs, and that's why he wins. So how is it a plus or not a minus for Bryce Harper, but it's a minus for Jalen because he has weapons?
So a couple things. One, Harper's been better as an individual in his sport. He's got two MVPs. Jalen Hurts doesn't have an MVP. Like, he's not been as good of a player in his individually. Now, the team, OG, the Phillies are not as good as the Eagles. They don't have as many good players around Harper as the Eagles have around Jalen. I mean, we're complaining about the team every day. They don't have a lot of great players here.
And that's my point. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that's why they saying the Phillies don't win is because they don't have the players. So my point is, we're criticizing Jalen for having the players and win because you said that the only reason why you got Jalen Hurts is being overrated is because of the ring. Well, why are you rating Patrick Mahomes as the number one quarterback? Because of his rings, correct?
Well, because he's been a brilliant player for eight
years. I know,
years.
But it's because of his rings, correct?
He's been to five Super Bowls.
I understand that, Joe. I understand
what
you're saying.
I guess the difference is, OG, I'll go back to something I said last year. Patrick Mahomes is the driving force of the Chiefs from the minute he got under center.
Multiple MVPs.
OG, a little bit. The reason why I feel, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, is that Patrick Mahomes, the mystique that was surrounding Patrick Mahomes when he came into the league, Andy Reid traded up for Patrick Mahomes, right, when they already had a pretty good quarterback. And when they got him, a lot of people felt like, you know, they reached for him because he wasn't a great quarterback in college. And then when he came into the league, he started making sidearm throws, some of the phenomenal throws that he was making.
50 touchdowns.
Yeah, and so that was the mystique. And I think, to your point, there's a little bit of a stigma on Jalen because he's a lower-round draft pick. Not that low. He's a second-round draft pick. But it's – People are enamored by the number one picks and some of the stuff that they do. So there's a little bit of that to it as well.
I just think, and OG, we appreciate it. I just think it's just simple for me. Sunday to Sunday, some quarterbacks seem to dominate more than others. That hasn't been Jalen. I mean,
And nobody's doing themselves any favors by comparing Jalen to Montana and Mahomes. Like, can we stop doing that? We can all have
– I thought we would, but we're going there.
Nope, because they had talent around them. And that is the gist of our argument because I look at it like this, Kyle. When you tell me that, and never mind, forget it. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
don't want this smoke, buddy.
Hey, no, Kyle, we're gonna do this all summer. So don't even worry about it.
All right, coming up, we'll yell about the Phillies leading off as we get set for the Phillies and Cubs. This one, I'm going to tell you why today is a huge day for Dave Dombrowski. That's coming up. Leading off, we're live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Winning on the field starts with how you recover off the field, and nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. You can celebrate the 4th of July this year with big savings at Mattress Warehouse, up to $1,200 warehouse-wide. Right now, you can save hot $500 on Tempur-Pedic's best-selling Breeze mattresses designed to fill up to 10 degrees cooler all night, every night. Now, that's pretty cool, people, to have a bed because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I like sleeping on a cool mattress because it just feels so much better. And right now, Mattress Warehouse has mattresses for everybody and every budget with 40 different models under $799. So if you're one of those individuals that don't like to spend like a whole lot of money like I am, that's a great deal for you. Do what I did. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse 4th of July sale. Shop their entire selection and find a location near you at mattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.